Praise the Lord and glory be to God. This is World Pastor Tony Alamo, and I'm just praising and thanking the Lord today because he's put it in my heart to don't stop running. I'll never stop running for the Lord. Whether the people in the world appreciate or whether the people even in my own ministry appreciate the things that the Lord has me doing to encourage people to be Christians and encourages people to be thankful, and they don't appreciate it, I will not stop running. Because the Word of God in so many words says, don't stop running. Just keep running. If people discourage you, don't let people stop you from running, because you're not to be serving people, you're supposed to be serving the Lord. And so, people don't discourage me. A lot of people think that I've been called into the ministry to serve them. I'm not serving them. I'm doing what the Lord tells me to do. And if the Lord tells me to give somebody money, or if he tells me to give them encouragement in the Word, or if he tells me to pray for them, I'm doing it because the Lord is telling me to do it. And no matter what they do in return, no matter whether they thank or thankful, or if they thank God even, the Lord tells me, don't stop running. Don't stop running. You're not going to stop running. God knew that when he called me in the first place, because there's so few people today that are keeping the commandments of the Lord. The love of many has waxed cold in these last days. And people influence each other to the point to where they stop running. But the Lord keeps encouraging me from the very first day that I was saved, don't stop running. Run the race so that you can finish it. End up with me shaking your hand and saying, come in, my good and faithful servant, well done. I can tell people all day long things that they must do in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. And what they do is spend their day watching movies, their nights watching movies, listening to secular music, or looking up people's biographies and so on. That doesn't mean anything. Or they get involved in cooking and baking. Oh, Martha, Martha. Oh, Martha. Evening, or earlier this morning, we burned the midnight oil around here. We're going to attempt to continue reading to you the piece of literature that the Lord had given me some time ago. And this piece of literature is entitled, Did I Offend You? This is a question from the Lord. The Lord is asking you, did I offend you? Does my word offend you? And are you ashamed of me? Are you little nothing that I created out of the dust of the ground, are you ashamed of me, the word of God? So this is part two. And I pray to God that you'll listen. I'm not like your Baptist preacher that have just made a resolution, and it's in the newspaper somewhere. What paper was that in?
Arkansas Democrat Gazette.
Is that in today's issue? If it is, it's December the 7th issue, 2005, saying that they renounce anyone in their organization that preaches speaking in tongues. In other words, they're speaking against the Holy Spirit. Now, there's one unforgivable sin, and that is to blaspheme the Holy Spirit, to say that the Holy Spirit doesn't exist. And God is the Holy Spirit. They're going right along with the world doctrine of, don't mention God, don't mention Jesus. Instead of saying Merry Christmas, say Merry Holiday. Well, Mary Holiday didn't save my soul. Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of the Living God, saved my soul. And Jesus was born on the very day that the prophet Daniel stated that the Messiah would be born. And he died on the exact day that the Bible says that the Messiah would die. And he had nail-pierced hands and feet, just like the prophet stated that he would, and that he was sold for 30 pieces of silver. And he was buried and then rose from the dead, death, hell, and the grave, and ascended into heaven and sat on the right hand of power. He is the power and the wisdom of God. And so, people should not blaspheme the Holy Spirit. And I'm saying this to all you Baptists, not because I hate you, it's because I love you. How, the Apostle Paul said, could it be that I'm your enemy when just because I'm telling you the truth? Now, he says, receive the truth, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, the only way, truth, and the life, and that he said that ye shall have power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And John the Baptist says the same thing, that the Lord God, the one that comes after him, will baptize you. He says, I indeed baptize you with water, but he that cometh after me shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And he said, this is for not only you Jews, who were the first Christians, but he says this is to all generations. It's for everyone in the world that will receive it. So I'm just reproving and rebuking you Baptists. Is that Southern Baptists or what? The Southern Baptists. That I'm doing this for your soul's sake. I'm the best friend you got. Okay, except Jesus. Now, Jesus is the best friend you ever had. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit is the power unto salvation to those that believe. Once the Spirit of God enters you inwardly, then there's an outward anointing that the Lord gives you so that you can be in the ministry, so that you're not going to be dead. Now, a lot of you Southern Baptists joke that, well, you're going to be the first ones to rise from the dead because the Bible says that the dead shall in Christ shall rise first. But that just means those that were born again of the Spirit, and including being filled with the Holy Spirit, and continued keeping on until the end, that they're the ones that shall first rise from the dead. Then all the lost. Now, those of you that don't stop running, the Bible says that those that continue to the end, those that keep running, that don't stop running to the end, shall be saved. And so don't stop running. If your mother, father, sister, brother, your wife, your sons, your daughters, or anybody tries to discourage you by, you know, not being enthusiastic about the Bible, not being enthusiastic about serving the Lord, don't stop running, because they're nothing but chaff. If they continue on the way they're going, they're nothing at all, because the Lord is coming back to earth very soon. Actually, he's standing at the threshold right now, ready to come back. So don't be alarmed, or don't get discouraged because you see no zeal in others. You know that the Bible says, God's word said, Jesus says in the book of Revelation, that if you don't have zeal, that he's going to spit you out of his mouth. And so be zealous also to hear. So right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord. And Father, make them zealous. Give them a spirit of zeal from this broadcast who want to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit so that they can minister in these last days. Because this is what you called us to do, is to minister the gospel to the lost in the world, that you called us and chosen us to rule the earth, just as you did Adam and Eve. And they gave their rulership away to Satan, but thank God for you, Jesus, that you came into the world and took over rulership. You destroyed the works of Satan, and then you entered into us and caused us to have the power in us to be able to rule. We are the kingdom of heaven that you sent into this earth to establish your kingdom here on earth. And we pray, Lord God, that you'll send that spirit of desire and zeal into everyone's heart, that they might have the desire to rule in this world, that they might become the kingdom of God, which is within and is not seen, but it's within. But because the kingdom of God is inside and it can't be observed, they must see our bodies doing the things that you did when you were here on earth. They must see us obeying your every word, to be zealous and to be vigilant and diligent and to be obedient to those that have the rule over them. We ask, Lord, that you open the spiritual eyes, the ears of every soul on earth that hears this gospel, that you open up radio and television waves, that they may pick up on this broadcast and receive you, receive the good news, the gospel of your being born on Christmas Day, that you, Christ, not holiday, but you, Christ, were born on Christmas Day, and that you are the Savior of the world, and the only person that is of any consequence. We all must be in you. Our old lives must be done away with, and our lives must be hidden in you, so that when we are in the world and we're walking about, that people see you living in and through us, living out your life in and through us. So, Lord, we ask that you do this, that the entire Church of God, the only body of Christ, the one and only born-again Christian body of Christ, is exalted and lifted up and strengthened, and that those that are in the world and don't know you yet are born again of the Spirit and to become part of the corporate body of Christ in this world today. In the name of Jesus we pray, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, so where's the first letter from?
From Andhra Pradesh, India. Dear beloved world pastor, warm, hearty greetings to you and to all the members of the Tony Lamo Christian Ministries in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I am so thankful for everything you have done to strengthen my ministry to win the perishing souls of our region.
Well, see, we strengthen that ministry there because I don't want, the Lord doesn't want them to stop running. And I'm saying to them, don't stop running. No matter how discouraged, if you don't have funds, if you're sick, if you're full of disease, infirmities, if you're put out of your house because of a famine, a flood, or some kind of tsunami or hurricane that came your way, don't stop running. Keep going. Doesn't make any difference what you go through. This life is very fast, and it's furious at times. And whatever you do, don't ever stop running. Don't be discouraged. Only be discouraged is if you fall away from the Lord. God wants you to know that there's just a certain horrible, horrifying waiting for the day of judgment. And I'm not trying to stop people from being discouraged in that regard. It's a horrible thing to fall into the hands of the living God and to know that there's no other fate for you but to spend eternity in the lake of fire. Hell first, then the lake of fire. So don't stop running, because you don't want that to happen to you. Your soul is going to live on forever somewhere, and you want to keep on running. Amen?
Amen.
Don't stop running. Okay, running the race of faith. Because the Apostle Paul said, I fought a good fight. I finished the race. Amen?
Amen.
And I fought a good fight. And, you know, whether you want to be in a battle or not, you're in one. And that's why we need to encourage one another by preaching the gospel and by aiding people that are in trouble. These people, from this letter here, they were in trouble because the hurricane came, or the tsunami, or a flood, or something. And I get all kinds of letters like that, and they needed some funds to buy. They didn't even have any Bibles, so they're wanting us to send them Bibles and all kinds of things. And we want to do that so that they know that there are people of the Lord here on earth continuing the work of Christ. We are the continuation of Christ's incarnation on earth. If the Spirit of God is in you, then Christ is in you with the Father by the Spirit, and he wants to live his life out in you. Not just to preach, because talk is cheap. A lot of people really talk about the Lord and everything, but when people call or reach out to them because they don't want to stop running the race of faith, or the race that it takes in order for them to go to the finish line and go through the finish line and have the Lord say, welcome into the kingdom of heaven, my good and faithful servant. That's what you want the Lord to say. You know, you hear these people say, what would you like the Lord to say to you when you stand before him in the kingdom of heaven? And some of them say, you know, make a joke out of it or something. It's not going to be any joking thing. You're going to want him to say, come in to the kingdom of heaven. Come in to rest, happiness, joy, peace, and hilarity, actually. It's going to be the most fantastic eternity in the entire universe, because the only other alternative, and it's no alternative to me, is a burning hell where you're gnashing on your teeth and chewing on your tongue. And so people should, you know, don't stop running. I mean, don't get discouraged. If somebody reproves or rebukes you, consider it a kindness that they smite you for the gospel's sake, because, you know, if it shoe fits, put it on and wear it, and don't stop running. Amen?
Amen.
Start obeying what the Lord says and keep on going. Don't stop running. Amen?
Amen.
Now, if the rebuke and reproof in love is causing you to fall away from the Lord, then the Lord isn't in you. And you don't have anything at all in the first place, because you're just too, your little sweet soul is too timid and pitiful, and you just want to feel sorry for yourself. But and nobody's going to feel sorry for you in hell or in the lake of fire. And whether you want to fight or not, you better start fighting. Don't stop running. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, keep going.
I convey my heartfelt greetings for your deciding to send me $5,000 for encouraging my work.
Well, I didn't do it. I don't do anything other than what the Lord tells me to do. When they told me of all the tragedy that had happened in that work, I prayed about it. The Lord told me to do it. And it wasn't me deciding to do it. It was the Lord telling me to do it. Okay, so let's get that straight right now, sunshine. Okay? Then what?
I have no words to express my gratitude for your love.
Well, it's the Lord's love, because he's the one that told me to do it. So spend your time thanking the Lord and praising the Lord, because that's who I'm going to get the big howdy-do from when I stand before him at the judgment bar of God. I'll get my thanks from him. But you thank the Lord, amen?
Amen.
And keep thanking him no matter what befalls you in this life here, because you don't want to stop running, amen?
Amen.
Don't stop running. That's a commandment. Continue on to the end no matter what happens to you. If you see they're going to drop you through a giant meat grinder, thank and praise the Lord, because you're going to see him in a few seconds, amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Don't stop running. Okay, then what? Keep your mind on the Lord's. You'll never fall. Then what?
You have been standing as an example for Jesus' love in the present day world through your deeds.
Only because of the fact that the Lord is standing in me. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus with the Father by the Spirit. Otherwise, I couldn't be doing that after all the things that I've been through. I heard people, how could you go through it? I tell them, well, because I had somebody go through it with me. Jesus was with me. It's for sure that nobody else encouraged me while I was going through the different things I did. Very few people would even give a kind word. That's a lot of people even tried to destroy my soul while I was there and there and tried to discourage me, but I have a motto, don't stop running. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah!
Amen.
And I'm a victor because of that. I'm victorious, all right? And you will be too if you take that as your motto.
Amen.
Okay, keep going.
That's why the world is knowing the everlasting Lord Jesus Christ through your valuable literature.
Well, the Lord, I can't take credit for that either. The Lord gave that to me as well. Okay, all the glory goes to the Lord, amen?
Amen.
Because the Lord cares for us, amen?
Amen.
So that's the reason why you should never stop running. And you say, well, I don't like the leader that's over me. Thank God for him, because that's just exactly what you need. He always puts you in an environment that you need. And he does that because he knows that there's something terribly wrong with you, and so he puts you in an environment that you need, that will cut. See, a diamond's got all kinds of rocks and dirt around it. all those rocks and dirts have to be knocked off before you shine. Amen?
Amen.
So he'll put you through what you may think is a cruel taskmaster. I remember when I was in the Navy, I had a chief petty officer of me that, and all of us thought he was the worst person on the face of this earth. He was a real cruel taskmaster. He was a Jewish guy, and he wanted put everybody in 909 Baker or Charlie, 909 Charlie or 909 Baker, if we would mess up, if we just even have a fleck of dust on our T-shirt in the morning during an inspection, or if our clothing was not tied in a square knot facing out at a 45-degree angle on inspection on the mast, and if one of our clothes, our whites were not blue-white, and if our bedroll, which is in a sea bag, is not laid out on our bed with all of our initials and everything on, and a 45-degree angle on the knots, because you tie them up with knots as well, and hundreds of other things. You almost have to learn the Blue Jackets manual the same as you would the Bible, because that's the Bible of the Navy. I hear it's not that bad anymore, but I was in the Navy about 1950, and I'll tell you, like, if there was one thing wrong, or they'd come up to you and ask you, here they throw a rope at you and tell you to tie a certain knot, there must be 100 of them or more. And if you didn't know how to tie that knot instantly, there'd be a point off. Or if you were caught marching out of step in the grinder when you're marching, that's another point off. You go one point off of he wanted a 4-0 company, which is perfect. That's perfection. It's also, you're given the meatball flag, which is a black flag with a meatball in it. Well, the Lord wants perfection. If you took one point off of Chief Secor's company, you would go to 909 Baker immediately. And half that company got sent to 909 Baker. I was only 16 years old because I lied my age. I was a senator, right? And I was a lawyer at that time, but man, I made it. I made it through. That was the proudest moment in my life, to have made it with all the other sailors. Even though I was a landlubber, I was stationed on North Island, never was stationed on a ship. But I made it. And I could have been on a ship because I knew how to be on a ship. I was trained thoroughly, crawling under machine gun fire and everything else. If you raise up, you're dead. So you have to keep calm, you know. And so this, the Lord calls for perfection, and if you see this sort of perfection in the Navy and in other places, in prisons where I've gone for the gospel's sake on a false IRS charge, and other different institutions, you should make it a positive thing to don't stop running. Amen?
Amen.
Because even when I was going through that, I had that motto. Before I even became a Christian, I says, don't let anything discourage you. You're going to be big one of these days. You're going to be wealthy. You're going to be somebody. And I just knew that inside, that God, I didn't know that God, it was going to be in the godly realm, but I knew that there was something that I was supposed to do in life. And so I kept on running. Nothing could have ever encouraged me to commit suicide. No way would I ever encourage anybody to help me commit suicide. There isn't any person on earth that would be over me that was cruel, and I had some real cruel people over me in my life. Even when I was they said I was incorrigible when I was even a younger child, I was put in reform school. And it didn't reform me, but it made me even worse, you know. But there were some real cruel taskmasters there that would beat me on a daily basis so hard that you couldn't even cry. It was beyond crying. It was just like gnashing your teeth. And so I figure if that hurt, just think how horrible it would hurt to be in hell in the lake of fire, because the Bible does say that you'll be gnashing on your teeth and chewing on your tongue for pain. And your face, I've seen what some of the people look like in hell. And I've heard it, And I heard him crying out, "Oh, God, no, it is true. There is hell, and I'm here, and there's no getting out." The frustration of being in a place that you can't get out, and it's so painful. And there's no such thing as pain pills or sitting down. And you might feel sorry for yourself there, but it won't do any good. You may think you're really going through it on this side of eternity, but you're really not in comparison to what hell in the lake of fire is like. So don't stop running. Don't stop running. You understand? Mm-hmm. If you've got something on your mind, you better get it out of there and place your mind on the Lord right now. Mm-hmm. Okay? Because the Lord is telling me to say these things to you, because it must be that you out there in radio land, TV land, or in my church and other churches need this. Don't fall away, because it's a hotter hell and lake of fire for those that fall away. Don't stop running. Okay, then what?
Especially your literature stands like a gem of Christian gospel literature that is touching the hearts of each and every one who is reading it. I can proudly say that without you and your valuable literature, I shouldn't have been what I am today. So I praise the Lord for providing me the fellowship with a great spiritual person and the living legend like you. Dear beloved pastor, I also thank you very much for reading my letter on your radio program. Really, this has been a great encouragement to me and my work. So I request you to send those audio tapes and other cassettes that can help me to be strengthened spiritually. I need your literature very much.
Please. That's what we need to do, is strengthen one another. Amen?
Amen.
Not run people down. If you're being rebuked for something and reproved for something that you did wrong, don't take it as something that's being hateful or that somebody's being cruel to you, because that is not cruelty when people are trying to tell you what you're doing wrong. Okay?
Amen.
Or you're trying to pass the buck to somebody else. Well, they do the same thing, or like they're the ones, so I told them to do it. Well, I know, but I didn't tell them to do it. I told you to do it. Amen?
Amen.
The Lord did. If I say, "Lord, well, you told other people to do it, and that's why I kicked back and didn't do anything," I don't want the Lord to be able to say that to me. I just say, the way I say to the Lord, "Lord, I know you're telling everybody the same thing, and I can see that a lot of people are failing you, and I'm going to be one that is not going to fail you. I'm not going to stop running. My motto, don't stop running. I'm going to keep it going, Lord, no matter what. If they throw baseball bats at me, if they bang me over the head, if they throw me in prison, if they throw me in jails, if they pull my toenails out, my fingernails, I'm not going to stop running, okay?"
Mm-hmm.
Because this life is short. And even if, from pain or something I die, and there's anguish on my face, I know that when the spirit leaves my body, there's going to be a smile on my face forevermore. This body that I'm living in is just a temporary living place. This is not the real me, this piece of flesh that's outside. The real me is mingled with the real you, Father, inside of me, and it's the real Father that's in me that's talking to you right now. Don't stop running. Now get up and start going, all right? Then what else?
Please send the literature entitled Dry Bones, Another Pearl Harbor, and some English Holy Bibles. As the people lost all their belongings in the recent floods, there is a great demand for Telugu Holy Bibles. But I am unable to respond to the demand, so I request you and beseech you to kindly send as many Telugu Holy Bibles for the flood-affected people. We are fervently praying for this need. We are hoping that the Lord will answer our prayers through you. I convey my heartfelt thanks for your loving help and continue to pray for you, for your family, for your health, for your ministry, and for all your endeavors. Please continue to pray for us and our work. Kindly convey our heartfelt greetings to all the members of Tony Lamo Christian Ministries. We need your love, prayers, encouragement, guidance, and support for everything we do for establishing the Lord's kingdom here in this land of Gentiles.
Well, you've got that right, because we don't stop running, okay? The prayers are going to be shooting up there for you, and I know that God hears and answers prayer, okay? If you want something from the Lord says you don't have because you don't ask. So ask that you may have. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, keep going.
May the Lord bless you with much knowledge and lead you to guide more and more evangelists for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. I wish to hear from you again. Your encouraging letter will add value to our work. Thank you in anticipation. Yours faithfully in his service, Evangelist G. Persaud.
How do you spell that last name? Because it sounds like you're saying Croissant.
He isn't Paul. R-A-S-A-N-T-H.
And if you have some letters to send him, send them to us and we'll forward it on to him. That will encourage him too. Let's encourage one another. When you see a brother or sister in fault, don't beat them down to the ground unless, of course, they've just been doing the same thing over and over again. If you see that they're not really a brother or sister because they're not furthering the gospel. Because the Lord tells us to measure up all the people that claim to be brothers and sisters. In the 11th chapter of the book of Revelation, he said, if they're not, then put them outside with the Gentiles, the unbelievers, the people that think it's foolishness, and those that perish because they think that the gospel is foolishness. You think the gospel is foolishness, and if it is, then you're going to perish, okay? The Bible says that the gospel is foolishness to all those who perish. They'll go to the hell and the lake of fire. Okay, well, where's the next letter from?
From Zambia, Africa.
Okay, let's hear it.
Dear Pastor Lamo, Calvary greetings to you, Pastor, and all the co-laborers of our Lord Jesus Christ, who was, who is, and who is to come. I hope the Lord is blessing his ministry for the tremendous job you are doing. Firstly, I would like to say thank you for the sweatshirt you sent to me. I received it in Jesus' name, and again I say thank you. God bless you. Secondly, Pastor,
now,
I want...
Anybody that is a distributor of the literature, because you want to win souls, and this literature does win souls, we send you a sweatshirt or a t-shirt, and if you're doing a real good job, you get 2, 3, 4 of them so that they don't wear out. Okay? And then Bibles and literature and all the different things, tools that you can use in the winning of souls. And we also send you tapes. And make sure that that last brother gets a copy of this tape so that he can see there was some little rebukes that I gave him there, reproofs, you know, that it's not him that I'm wanting him to be encouraged, but I want to please the Lord. That's why I send all those things to him. All right, then what?
Secondly, Pastor, I want to share with you this testimony. One day I invited some Catholics and shared with them about the Pope's secrets. After I finished, two of them denounced Catholic worship, confessed, and are now born-again Christians. I gave them your newsletter and a Messiah book. Pastor, your messages are from God, and we are praying for the fresh anointing to be upon you always. Lastly, but not the least, continue remembering us as far as Bibles, newsletters, audio, and videotapes, so we can hear the direct messages and anything else that can be helpful in reaching the unreached. May the Almighty God bless you. Yours in his service, Jacob from Lusaka, Zambia, Africa.
Great. Okay, and I'd also like you to get a copy of that letter that came from Ireland. They just read it to me today. And it shows of the Catholic control of that country. However, that because of the fact that there are so many tapes and pieces of literature going out telling people about the Vaticanite government. Now, some of these words will be a little bit difficult for you to read, but Sharon can come here and read them because she's familiar with it. She's the one that read it to me in the first place. So let's, because this will show you, you know, that even though there is such governmental control and satanic control over our country that when the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, in other words, the Word of God, is shown into that country, that there'll be like thousands of people leaving that Catholic cultish Antichrist organization. They don't even notice that in this writing here, that they don't even allow Bibles into Ireland, and so they're requesting that we send them Bibles, and I instructed Sharon to have the mailroom send 2 cases, which would be 12 in a case or 24, but send them right away, and then send some about every other day. There's 2, 3, 4, 5 Bibles at a time, so that there are going to be plenty of Bibles in Ireland. We can't allow any country in this world to be without Bibles. Okay, let's start. It's a pretty long letter, but kick back, relax, and we're going to get into the piece of literature the Lord gave me. Do I offend you? Are you ashamed of me? Part two. Okay, go ahead.
Beloved brother in Christ, the Republic of Ireland is a truly beautiful and inspiring nation.
Yeah, the world God made is beautiful even after it's been cursed a couple of times. Once during the flood when everybody got so evil. And then again, okay? And do you remember when that was, the curse? Everybody? Fate was thrown down. Okay, keep going. I'll get into that later. That's a vastly deep subject. And the earth is going to be cursed again when it turns on fire real soon. All right, then, go ahead.
Its historical and cultural heritage is extensive. From its Neolithic monuments and later Celtic heritage to its modern eminence as the Celtic tiger of the newly formed European Union, its history is a rich and often heart-rending tapestry. The original church, which came to Ireland from Britain, was received, and the faith in our Lord spread with astonishing quickness throughout the land. This faith was nurtured here, and at the end of the Dark Ages, the Irish monks played the key role in the reestablishment of the faith throughout Europe. When Pope Adrian gave Ireland and Scotland to the Norman King Edward of England, Roman Catholicism was established here at the point of the sword.
In other words, we must believe in Roman Catholicism, otherwise die. That isn't the way Christianity is, though. The Lord says, witness and testify to people, and if they reject it, just shake the dust of your shoes off and go and witness to somebody that will believe. The Lord never commands you to kill anybody because they don't receive the word of God, let alone if you would receive the Antichrist. The only one that threatens to kill you if you don't receive their filthy doctrine is the isms, especially Catholicism, who have been renowned for burning people at the stake and throwing people to the lions and crucifying them as they did the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, let's continue on.
The original church was banned and its scholars were banished. Romanism has since been established with fear and superstition upon the Irish people. The flight for Irish independence from English rule then took on religious overtones as the Reformation and the Anglican Church formed.
I'd like to interject here and say that this letter is written in longhand, and the man's writing is a little bit hard to understand, so that's why Sharon is struggling with it as she is right now. So just be patient, because it's very important for you to hear this. Okay, then what?
At this time, due to the mechanisms of intrigue at the Roman behest, the words tyrant and Protestant became ignominious. From my standpoint, the treatment of the Irish by the English is a heartrending saga of atrocities akin to ethnic cleansing. A new day is dawning now in Ireland. We are experiencing a modicum of material blessing at present that has not been seen here for 500 years. Along with this is an awakening from Catholicism in the minds of the people. The scandals in Romanism have led to a flight from Catholicism. The Irish, who view Protestantism with great suspicion and have had a long-standing faith in Christ, are now ripe for a fresh presentation of the gospel. The Irish people are a kind and enduring nation, the very salt of the earth. And now there is a great spiritual vacuum that can be filled with the gospel of Christ, risen in glory, or the vain materialism of the ruler of this age.
That's why I want to send a lot of Bibles into Ireland, and also a lot of my literature, because it condenses the Bible and causes the Bible to be better understood. All right, according to readers everywhere. Then what?
I myself am here on retirement from the U.S. military. I am a combat veteran, and the pure and goodness of this land is a blessing unexplainable to my heart, or unspeakable.
You know, Ireland, the pictures I've seen of it, I almost went to Ireland, but I decided to go to Israel when I was in London. And because it looks so beautiful, so green and everything, and one of these days, I pray that the Lord will let me go there, but if not, I just want to be the one that evangelizes it to the hilt. Okay, then what? At least to the kilt. Okay, then what?
My own great-grandfather migrated to America at the famine times. I cannot fully express the joy I feel being, quote, home, unquote, in the sense that I place on earth, that a place on earth could be called home to a believer. Since I've been here, I've had opportunity on occasion to share some of the gospel truths with people. I have for a long time been seeking a source of Bibles and literature. I've tried every possible source I could think of.
Well, you came to the right source now, my friend. My brother, you're going to get plenty of Bibles now. We'll load you up. And literature as well. Then what?
And all without fruit, as I cannot afford to buy Bibles on my pension. It is my belief that people in the U.S. have no conception of life here, as they do of other countries also. In the center of every Irish town, there is a statue to the Queen of Heaven.
Which is, they say, is Mary. But she's no Queen of Heaven. The Lord in His Word says there is no Queen up here. And that's why the Catholic cult, the Antichrist, doesn't want those people to see the Bible where God says that. There's no Queen in Heaven. Okay? He says he looks to the left and right. The only one there is Himself. That is, He is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. These three are one. All right, then what?
There are public ceremonies outdoors. The Angelus is played daily at all churches and on all radio stations. At every incident in the news, either political or personal, a Catholic cleric will come forward and pronounce the final word. Priests write columns in all the papers and appear at all functions.
Because the media is controlled by the Vatican, by the Antichrist. That's the voice of the Antichrist or Satan. And that's what it is here. And they're quickly moving into that same structure today as it is in Ireland. Their ambassadors are everywhere. They're, as Avril Manhattan said, like termites in the wood of every fiber of America and the rest of the world. Like creeps. Termites. See, a termite is a creep, like grasshoppers and spiders. Okay, then what?
The public schools are run by the Roman Church. All social welfare is overseen by them.
That's the same way here in the United States. Then what?
They have a tremendous voice in Irish government and enjoy privilege and amenities beyond our wildest imagination.
Well, it's the same thing here. They don't pay taxes, and you can't even put a ticket on their cars when they're here because they're considered dignitaries from other countries. And they're considered political people. And from another nation, and therefore they're immune here. I heard marshals over talking, saying, I'm not going to take my wife over there. Those guys to try to make out with your wives, and we can't even do anything about it. I said, and you people, I whispered through the bars, I stated through the bars, and you guys are involved with this government that pays such homage to such as these. And they always grab for their holster like they're going to shoot me. They says, oh, don't shoot me now. All right, then what?
Yet the people here disdain them as pedophiles and thieves.
They sure are into pedophiles. Amen?
Amen.
Well, I don't understand why you don't see more of the government prosecuting them for their pedophiles and their homosexuality and their with children, little children. Okay, then what? Well, they hide them in the Vatican. It's a sewer of corruption, just as Martin Luther said, not Martin Luther King, but Martin Luther. Then what?
Brother, I'm kind of lost for words. I'm writing in the hope that you can send me Bibles.
Oh, we will, brother. We shall do it. Okay, what else, brother?
Most Irish people really love our Lord. They are caught between a rock and a hard place and don't know what to believe anymore. If you can send them, I don't know exactly how our Lord will use it. I know I can hand them out. I would like to start a Bible study here. There are very few non-Catholic churches. There are virtually no Bibles to be had. The Word of God is suppressed here to some degree. The bookstores do not carry Bibles. No one owns a Bible, and the church, in quotes, discourages Bible knowledge. If you can
How could that be called a church? Amen?
Amen.
It's Satan's coven, is what I call it. Amen. And that's what the Lord calls it as well. Okay, then what?
If you can send me Bibles, I'll be thankful. May our Lord bless you from glory and in the age to come. Sincerely yours in his eternal covenant, Thomas.
Okay, if you'd rather send Bibles here, King James Version, rather than money, we'll send it right over there. As a matter of fact, if you call us, we'll give you the address, and you can just send them over there. Okay, now, back to, do I offend you, Jesus says, or are you ashamed of me, part two. Go ahead, begin.
The book of Matthew tells us that Christians must choose to love the Lord their God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength.
Yeah, but the tip there is you must choose to do it because you have the will to either choose to do it or choose not to serve Him. And just to say, yes, I will, and then to not do anything to further the gospel, it means that you're a liar and the truth is not in you. Because when you say, yes, I serve the Lord, yes, I'm a Christian, then you obey the Lord's word, okay? Mm-hmm. Because the word is the Lord. Then what?
The book of Matthew tells us that Christians must choose to love the Lord their God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, before their families, before their friends, and even before themselves. If we show more respect to God than to everyone else in the world, even to our families and ourselves, people will see we have more respect for God than for all the world, including our families and ourselves.
Right, and they'll see that you don't stop running, because family and friends will try to discourage you, but don't stop running. Amen.
Amen.
Keep going, brother. Keep going, sister. Don't let anything discourage you. Don't stop a running. Okay, now keep going. Don't stop reading.
By the world witnessing our love, admiration, and obedience to God, they too will learn to love, admire, obey, and respect God and be saved. It is true love to lay down our self-life for the sake of the Lord and the salvation of souls. This means we are to hate anything that could destroy our soul or keep the souls of others from entering heaven. Anyone or anything that could do this, even family or ourselves, is strictly forbidden to us. Human blood is not thicker than the divine Holy Spirit, the triune Godhead. If we really love those who are close to us and our neighbors, which is everyone in the world, we will obey every command of Christ, because when we do His will, our household and our neighbors will respect God and see how they too may enter heaven.
That's why we don't stop running. That way they're always going to see the Lord living out His life in us, and they're always going to be encouraged to do the same. Then what?
True love is the keeping of God's commandments. Human natural love, which is not love at all, but is carnal, flows from our wicked self-life, loves only what it desires and demands carnal love in return. This kind of love must be delivered to death, to the death of the cross. The Lord wants us to love Him, the Word, for our own good, for our own benefit. We must learn to see, know, and understand God through His Word. Jesus wants us to forsake our natural self-love. Jesus wants us to love others, even our enemies, but not with our old, sinful, self-centered natural love. He wants us to love with the supernatural love of Christ, which again is the life of self-denial, the cross life, or the life of Christ.
Yeah, love, according to the Word of God, is the keeping of the commandments. The love of God is to keep His commandments. Okay? There's no other kind of love. In other words, the love of God is don't stop running. Don't stop preaching the gospel and living it. All right? Then what?
We show the love of Christ for His body, His church, His bride, for the sake of Christ and the souls of all. Our new relationship to Him is not love for the world or for any other love, but for Him and for the salvation of souls. Our lives must be governed by the Lord so that we can love others with a godly love. God commands, for the sake of our souls, that our hearts not be united to anyone else but Christ. He wants us to freely serve Him so that we can enter heaven.
Fine, that means don't let anyone discourage you from stopping to run. Some people get so discouraged, and I must admit that, you know, as many people as I see not serving the Lord in my life, I have to keep telling myself, don't stop running. Just keep going. I see people all around me that just are not running. They're not zealous, they're not full of zeal, or they don't have any zeal whatsoever to serve the Lord. And I have to say, don't stop running. Don't pay any attention to them. Just they're nothings. They're not going to be in heaven. Don't let them discourage you. I know you, the Lord says to me. I know that you're running and you're running the race. Don't stop running. And hallelujah, I know that no matter who, if everybody falls away from around me, I know that the Lord is with me. And that's all that matters. And that's what keeps me running. That's what keeps me to don't stop running. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, keep going.
Chapter 10 of Matthew emphasizes that we must give up the affections of that which our natural soul loves so much if we are going to be disciples of Christ. Worldly religions and governments call Jesus the devil. This is because He denied the world because it was the will of God that He do so. Jesus also said that worldly religion and government would call those of us who are Christians the devil because we do the things Christ did, which is also the will of God. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 25, Jesus tells it like this, quote, "If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household?"
Yeah, look at how Jesus was called the devil and everything, but he didn't stop running, did he?
No.
He was faithful to the end, even to the death of the cross. Amen?
Amen.
And he says, "Come and follow me," okay, even to the death of the cross. All right? So anyone that thinks that you're right and God is wrong, you've already stopped running, okay? You might as well just sit down and weep. Because if you're not keeping the commandments every day and living them out, you're lost and you're on your way to hell. Now, if you got any spark of God in you whatsoever, then get up and don't stop running. All right?
Amen.
If you can't run, crawl in the same direction. All right?
Amen.
All right, what else?
Jesus tells us not to fear them because the entire triune God sees and hears everything they do to us and everything they say about us.
Right, and if you're in prayer with the Lord and you're right there with the Lord, I mean, you're so encouraged because you know you're not alone. Amen?
Amen.
"And I'll never walk alone. Praise the Lord. I've got God. If everybody else fails me, I've got God." Amen?
Amen.
And you do too if you just realize it and remember it all the time. Okay, then what?
We will see plainly how the evil human weak life is brought into our view if we pay attention to the conversation between Peter and Jesus. When Jesus told his disciples of the death he must suffer on the cross, Peter cried out, quote, "Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. Feel sorry for yourself, have pity on yourself," exclamation point.
Stop running, Peter was saying to him. "Why, you devil out of hell, don't be telling me to stop running. Don't try to discourage me. You're the devil out of hell if you try to discourage me." Amen?
Amen.
Okay, keep on running. Then what?
"Let it not be so. Live the self life," unquote, Matthew chapter 16, verse 22. This was because Peter thought he loved Jesus intensely, but Peter was more concerned for the human body of Jesus than the will of God, especially when the will of God meant Jesus' death on the cross. Jesus was faithful to the will of God, even to his death on the cross.
Yep, he didn't stop running. Then what?
Quote, "And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross," unquote, Philippians chapter 2, verse 8.
He didn't stop running even to the death. That's why God raised him from the dead, out of hell, and into the kingdom of heaven. He's died once, and he was dead, but he's alive now forevermore. Amen?
Amen.
And so will you be if you don't stop running. Okay? Keep going.
"We are to be like Jesus, more concerned about God's will than about our self-will, and more concerned about our ecclesiastical body than about our flesh and blood human body. Quote, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God," unquote, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50.
My mother, father, sister, brother, son, or daughters ever stop serving the Lord, that's not going to stop me from running. I'm not going to feel sorry for them. Everybody has their own free will, and they have an opportunity to do what the Lord says or not do what he says. And I have the same thing, too. Why should I go to hell just because my daughter or my son wants to go there? Why should I go to hell just because, like Job's wife, she wanted him to curse God and die? Well, I'm sure that God gave Job a different wife. Amen?
Amen.
Who would want an old hag like that? Okay, keep going. Keep on running.
Jesus said, quote, "The flesh profiteth nothing," unquote, John chapter 6, verse 63. He also said, quote, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life," unquote, Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. Peter could not see how concern for God's will should far exceed the concern for self. This is how the majority of the Christians in the world feel and think today. Their attitude is, quote, "It's fine to do God's will for his purpose, but shouldn't we be mindful of ourselves," unquote.
And I see that our time is up. Shouldn't you be mindful of yourself? The Lord says, abandon the self-life, okay? Let the life of Christ live in and through you. Okay, well, tomorrow we're going to continue with part 3 of Do I Offend You? Are You Ashamed of Me? So until then, this is Pastor Tony Alamo saying God bless you and praise the Lord. Amen.